In 1912, a thriving black community called Oscarville was violently destroyed, with residents forced to flee. 40 years later, the U.S. government flooded what remained to create Lake Lanier, submerging its painful history beneath 160 feet of water. The lake harbors unsettling mysteries. Divers report eerie encounters in the murky depths. Phantom hands reaching upward, mysterious currents pulling swimmers down, and shadowy figures appearing near shorelines at dusk. What explains Lake Lanier's alarmingly high death toll? Over 500 people since 1956. Could these tragedies connect to the community that lies beneath the surface of Georgia's most visited lake? The answers may be more disturbing than you think. From glossy travel brochures to Instagram-perfect sunset photos, Lake Lanier presents itself as Georgia's crown jewel, a shimmering 58-square-mile reservoir with pristine blue waters beckoning to boaters, swimmers, and nature enthusiasts. More than 10 million visitors flock to its shores annually, making it one of the most visited Corps of Engineers lakes in the nation. But beneath this carefully cultivated image lies a complex reality that tourism officials rarely mention. The lake's reputation was significantly enhanced when it took center stage during the 1996 Summer Olympics, hosting rowing and sprint canoeing events that captivated a global audience. Lake Lanier Olympic Park continues to attract international competitions decades later, including the 2003 ICF Canoe Sprint World Championships and the 2018 ICF Dragon Boat World Championships, cementing its status as a world-class sporting venue. Each summer weekend, the lake transforms into a playground for Atlanta's wealthy and middle class alike. Speedboats cut through the water while families picnic along the 692 miles of shoreline. Children splash in designated swimming areas as anglers cast their lines in quiet coves. The economic impact is substantial. Millions of dollars flow into local businesses, from lakeside restaurants to boat rental companies and vacation properties. Like a shimmering mirror, the surface reflects only prosperity and leisure, concealing darker depths beneath. Yet locals know this glittering facade tells only half the story. While tourists marvel at sunset cruises, longtime residents exchange knowing glances and whispered warnings. The lake's beauty masks a troubling reality. It claims victims with unsettling regularity. The statistics reveal a stark truth. Since its creation, Lake Lanier has claimed over 500 lives, with nearly 200 occurring just since 1994. This fatality rate raises serious questions when compared to similar bodies of water. Lake Allatoona, located just 40 miles west and receiving comparable visitor numbers annually, has recorded only one-third as many deaths during the same period. Something about Lake Lanier seems different, deadlier, than its counterparts. Emergency responders familiar with both lakes point to several factors that might contribute to this discrepancy, but none fully explain the dramatic difference in fatality rates. Some suggest it's the lake's popularity among inexperienced boaters or its proximity to alcohol-serving establishments, but these explanations feel insufficient when examining the data. Similar lakes with similar demographics simply don't claim as many lives. The lake itself is an engineering marvel, conceived in the post-war optimism of the 1940s and completed in 1956. Congressional authorization came in 1946, with construction beginning 4 years later as part of a vision for American progress. The project serves multiple practical purposes, providing flood control for downstream communities, generating hydroelectric power, and supplying drinking water to millions in Atlanta and surrounding counties. When Buford Dam began its work on February 1, 1956, few questioned the narrative that this was unequivocal progress. By August 1958, the lake had reached its full pool level, creating a reservoir that holds approximately 625 billion gallons of water. The project cost $1 billion, equivalent to $10 billion today, reflecting its enormous scale and ambition. What promotional materials don't mention is the immense human cost. Creating Lake Lanier required displacing over 250 families from land many had inhabited for generations. 15 businesses closed permanently. 20 cemeteries needed relocation, with workers moving remains to higher ground. More than 50,000 acres of productive farmland disappeared beneath the rising waters. Workers systematically demolished structures deemed hazardous to future boaters, clearing trees, dismantling wooden buildings, and removing potential underwater risks. But in the rush to complete the project, corners were inevitably cut. Many structures remained when the waters began to rise. During the drought years, receding waters revealed ghostly remnants of communities that once thrived here. Roads leading nowhere, foundations of homes, and occasionally, personal items from those who once called this valley home. This forgotten landscape creates both literal and metaphorical hazards. The submerged structures form navigational obstacles, unpredictable currents, and sudden drop-offs that disorient even experienced swimmers. Recovery divers describe Lake Lanier as one of Georgia's most challenging underwater environments, with visibility often less than 1 foot and obstacles waiting to entangle the unwary. When accidents occur, these underwater hazards complicate rescue efforts. Bodies sometimes remain undiscovered for days or weeks despite extensive searches. In 2011, when a boat collision claimed a young boy's life, recovery teams spent 10 agonizing days searching before finding his remains. Officials attribute most deaths to conventional factors: alcohol consumption, failure to wear life jackets, and swimming in unauthorized areas. Yet this explanation feels insufficient to many locals who have witnessed decades of tragedies. They point to unusual patterns, clusters of drownings in specific areas or during particular phases of the moon. Some longtime residents refuse to enter the water at all, citing not just statistical danger but a palpable sense of dread they feel near certain parts of the lake. While tourists float carelessly above Lake Lanier's depths, they're actually swimming over the remains of Oscarville, a once thriving Black community whose violent erasure predates the lake itself by nearly half a century. The recreational paradise that draws millions each year conceals a darker chapter of Georgia's past beneath its shimmering surface. Founded during the Reconstruction era, Oscarville represented a remarkable achievement in post-Civil War Georgia. Unlike much of the economically struggling state, this Black community had established a self-sufficient haven where talented artisans, such as carpenters, blacksmiths, and skilled bricklayers, worked alongside farmers who cultivated the land that had sustained families for generations. The town hummed with productivity, smoke rising from workshop chimneys as children played between rows of corn and cotton that stretched toward the horizon. Oscarville embodied the promise of Black prosperity, creating what historians have described as a Black Wall Street in rural Georgia. Residents owned businesses, worked their own land, and built institutions serving the community's needs. Sunday mornings brought families together in wooden churches, their hymns floating across fields where vegetables grew in neat rows. Market days transformed the town center into a vibrant exchange of goods and conversation. This achievement flourished despite the overwhelming hostility of the Jim Crow South toward Black success. Against formidable odds, Oscarville's residents had carved out a pocket of relative autonomy and economic independence. The fragile peace of Oscarville shattered in 1912 with the discovery of May Crow's body. The 19-year-old white woman was found dead near the town, and in keeping with the poisonous logic of the era, suspicion immediately fell on the Black community. The accusation triggered a sequence of events that followed a grimly predictable pattern throughout the South, a pattern where mere proximity to alleged crimes against white women became grounds for collective punishment of entire Black communities. What followed was a calculated campaign of terror. Groups of white men known as Night Riders descended on Oscarville with torches and guns, moving methodically from house to house. The sky glowed orange as they set fire to Black churches and businesses, symbols of the very prosperity that had likely fueled their resentment. Their message was unambiguous: leave immediately or face death. This targeted the erasure of a successful Black community. George Rucker, whose ancestors lived in Oscarville, preserves the harrowing story of his great-grandfather's escape. Bird Oliver owned 100 acres of land, a considerable holding that represented generations of work and investment. When the Night Riders came, Oliver, like his neighbors, was forced to abandon everything. The family fled to the banks of the Chattahoochee River, where they faced an impossible choice: risk drowning or face the violence behind them. Many did not survive the crossing, Rucker recounts, his voice carrying the weight of ancestral trauma. Those who survived, like Rucker's family, eventually rebuilt their lives in Gainesville, where his great-grandparents established a school that stands to this day. The expulsion transformed Forsyth County almost overnight. Property records revealed the systematic theft that accompanied the violence. Land and homes that black families had worked decades to acquire was seized by white residents or sold under duress for a fraction of their value. What had been a diverse community became, through organized violence, an all-white county. This racial homogeneity was engineered through terror and maintained through the threat of violence for decades afterward. In the aftermath, Oscarville became a ghost of itself. Abandoned buildings slowly weathered, fields turned to wilderness, and the physical evidence of black prosperity gradually faded from the landscape. For white Georgia, this was a history best forgotten, a shameful episode buried beneath narratives of progress. For displaced black families, it represented an open wound that would never properly heal, a violent theft of generational wealth and community bonds that could never be restored. For 40 years, the remnants of Oscarville sat largely forgotten by mainstream history. The town's final erasure came when the government planners selected the area for flooding without acknowledging its troubled past. The creation of Lake Lanier became a second burial, water-covered buildings, roads, and the material evidence of racial violence. This layered burial, first through violence and then through flooding, has created a uniquely American form of haunting. Lake Lanier's creation physically enacted a metaphorical burial, placing a recreational playground above the scene of historical violence, submerging uncomfortable truths beneath the waters of forgetting. What price would you place on your family's history? How much would it take to convince you to watch bulldozers demolish the home where your grandparents raised your parents, where generations of memories were created? For hundreds of families in the Chattahoochee River Valley during the 1950s, this wasn't a hypothetical question, but a devastating reality they were forced to face. When the waters began rising behind Buford Dam in 1956, they submerged entire lives. The government's approach to creating Lake Lanier extended beyond engineering calculations and construction logistics. It required a systematic erasure of communities, including what remained of Oscarville and the numerous small farming settlements that had existed for generations. "The hardest part wasn't leaving," recalled one former resident and historian Lisa Russell. "It was watching them take apart your world piece by piece." This observation captures the profound psychological trauma that accompanied the physical destruction, like watching someone methodically tear pages from your family's history book while you stand helplessly by. The dismantling happened methodically as the Army Corps of Engineers prepared the valley for flooding. After purchasing properties, often through the processes that left residents feeling coerced or undercompensated, the government began the physical deconstruction of these communities. The compensation offered became a painful point of contention. How do you calculate the value of the porch where your grandfather taught you how to whittle, or the peach orchard your family had tended for three generations? Many families later realized they couldn't survive financially on what the government provided, having underestimated the cost of establishing new lives elsewhere. The emotional mathematics simply didn't translate to dollar amounts that could truly compensate for what was lost. Once properties were acquired, the systematic dismantling began. Structures deemed potentially hazardous to future boaters required removal. The government's solution in many cases was both practical and emotionally devastating: controlled burning. Families who had already endured the trauma of forced relocation sometimes returned to witness their former homes engulfed in flames, the final punctuation mark on their displacement. The community infrastructure that had bound these rural settlements together vanished piece by piece. A general store where farmers had gathered for decades to trade news and barter goods was dismantled board by board. The one-room schoolhouse where several generations had learned to read was systematically taken apart. These weren't simply buildings. They were the physical manifestation of community bonds and shared history, now reduced to debris or ash before the waters came. Perhaps the most disturbing was the government handling of the dead. The Army Corps of Engineers undertook the relocation of approximately 1,400 graves from 20 known cemeteries before the waters rose. Families watched as the remains of their ancestors were exhumed and transported to higher ground, a process that, while conducted with official protocols, added spiritual trauma to the already painful displacement. But what about the graves that weren't on official records? The unmarked burial sites on family farms? the small community cemeteries without proper documentation. The technological limitations of the 1950s offered no ground-penetrating radar or sophisticated survey methods to locate all human remains in the flood zone. Researchers now believe numerous unmarked graves, particularly those of formerly enslaved people and their descendants, likely remain beneath Lake Lanier's waters, a permanent, unintended underwater cemetery. A former Army Corps engineer later admitted, "We did the best we could with what we had and what we knew at the time, but I've always wondered about what and who we missed." This acknowledgement reveals the impossible completeness the project demanded but couldn't achieve. Some things simply couldn't be relocated or properly accounted for. The psychological impact on the displaced resonated for decades. Former residents described the surreal experience of later boating over locations where their homes once stood, fishing in waters covering fields their families had farmed for generations. "It's like visiting a grave," one displaced resident told a local newspaper in the 1970s, "except your memories are buried so deep you can't even leave flowers." This profound sentiment reveals how the physical displacement transformed into a permanent psychological haunting, the inability to properly mourn what was lost because it exists in a liminal space, neither fully gone nor accessible. For Black families who had already endured the violent displacement from Oscarville decades earlier, the creation of Lake Lanier represented a second erasure, this time government-sanctioned and permanent. The water covered not just homes and graves, but also obscured the physical evidence of previous racial violence, creating a literal and figurative burial of a troubled history Georgia had never properly confronted. The rising waters achieved what decades of silence had attempted. They concealed uncomfortable truths beneath a recreational surface. As visitors water skied and fished, few considered the communities intentionally erased to create their playground. The underwater foundations, roadbeds, and possibly human remains created both physical hazards and metaphysical unease that continues to characterize the lake. While visitors splash in Lake Lanier's waters, few realize they're playing in what recovery divers consider one of Georgia's most treacherous underwater environments. Beneath that placid surface lies an architectural graveyard where concrete foundations, hidden walls, and even intact racing track create a labyrinth of potential death traps, all shrouded in water so murky you can't see your hand 6 inches from your face. Like a ruined cathedral frozen in time, this underwater ghost town waits silently for unwary visitors. When drought strikes Georgia and Lake Lanier's water levels drop, the first hints of this submerged world emerge. Ghostly outlines of old roads appear like skeletal fingers reaching up from below, sometimes still bearing faint traces of yellow paint that once guided Sunday drivers through the countryside. These roads lead nowhere now, disappearing into deeper water where entire communities rest in perpetual silence. The visible remains during dry periods merely preview what lurks permanently beneath, a sprawling underwater maze of concrete, steel, and stone. Among the most unusual features hiding beneath Lake Lanier's surface is an abandoned auto racing track near Gainesville. The Army Corps of Engineers removed the bleachers before flooding the area, but the track itself remains intact on the lake bed. Swimming over a complete racing oval, its concrete turns and straightaways create perfect traps for the unwary. This well-preserved structure maintains much of its original form, waiting in the darkness below. The track represents one section of an underwater obstacle course that includes concrete foundations, intact basement walls, stone chimneys that refuse to topple, and countless structural remnants too difficult to remove before flooding. A casual dive can quickly turn deadly when a swimmer inadvertently enters what was once someone's basement, now a concrete box with limited escape routes. Lake Lanier's notorious visibility compounds these dangers. Unlike clear, natural lakes, Lanier's murky conditions often limit visibility to less than 12 inches. This perpetual twilight transforms every underwater exploration into a high-risk venture. Professional divers describe moving through coffee with cream, feeling your way through the world you can barely see, where fingertips become your primary navigational tool. The psychological impact of this sensory deprivation creates a disorienting environment where panic can quickly set in. Unpredictable currents and sudden temperature changes add another layer of danger. Cold water pockets form around the deep structural elements, creating thermoclines that can shock a swimmer's system. These temperature shifts, combined with the currents that swirl around submerged structures, create a dynamic underwater environment that behaves differently than open water, pulling swimmers in unexpected directions. Divers emerge with tales of a profoundly unsettling experience. Swimming through what was once a living community, passing over streets where children played, moving through spaces where families gathered, creates an eerie psychological dimension. Many report feeling as though they've trespassed in a place never meant for human exploration. The dangers manifest in tragedy. Every year, swimmers and boaters suffer injuries from collisions with these submerged structures. A teenage boy diving from a boat struck his head on a submerged wall just 6 feet below the surface, suffering fatal injuries. One of the over 500 deaths that have occurred since the lake's creation. In another incident, a boater's propeller was destroyed when it struck part of a concrete foundation barely 2 feet below the waterline, forcing passengers to abandon ship where standing meant sinking into knee-deep mud. Recovery operations in Lake Lanier represent some of the most challenging diving work in the Southeast. When accidents occur, divers must navigate the same hazardous conditions that contributed to the accidents. One professional with 20 years of experience described Lanier as feeling like you're inside a haunted house with the lights off, except the house is trying to trap you. Operations that would take hours in clear water stretched into days or weeks due to poor visibility and structural hazards. Bodies sometimes remain undiscovered for extended periods despite extensive searches. The lake's depth, reaching nearly 200 feet in places, combined with the structural maze, creates perfect conditions for concealment. In difficult cases, remains have been located only after rising to the surface days later, adding trauma for families awaiting closure. Yet for locals who have lived with the lake for generations, these concrete hazards tell only part of the story. Many believe something more malevolent lurks in those murky depths, something beyond submerged racing tracks and hidden foundations. They point to inexplicable patterns in the deaths, to bodies found in areas already thoroughly searched, to strange clustering of incidents around certain parts where Oscarville and other settlements once stood. What transforms a tragedy into a ghost story that persists for generations? In 1958, a Thunderbird plunged from Brown's Bridge into Lake Lanier's depths, taking two young women with it. While the incident itself was tragic enough, it was the aftermath that would cement this incident in local folklore, creating the most enduring spectral legend of Lake Lanier, the Lady of the Lake. The tragedy began when Delia Mae Parker Young and Susie Roberts, whose evening drive across Brown's Bridge ended with their vehicle veering off the crossing and plummeting into the murky waters below. Searchers found nothing, leaving families and authorities baffled by their complete disappearance. A year later, the vehicle was discovered with Susie's body inside, but Delia remained missing, as if Lake Lanier had claimed her for itself, holding her secret beneath the rippling surface. This unresolved disappearance lingered in local memory, transforming from accident to omen. Fishermen near Brown's Bridge reported strange encounters, a woman with a flowing blue dress visible beneath the water's surface, her pale arms reaching up like a forgotten portrait suddenly animated beneath the waves. These sightings accumulated, many accounts describing the same disturbing detail. The spectral figure's arms ended in mist rather than hands, creating the haunting image of a spirit eternally searching for her missing appendages. The legend took a chilling turn in 1990 when construction workers repairing Brown's Bridge made a grim discovery. After 33 years submerged in Lake Lanier's depths, Delia's remains were finally identified, her body severed at the wrist with hands and toes missing, sent shivers through the community. Forensic experts attributed these conditions to underwater decomposition, but locals connected this detail to the apparition's missing hands, seeing it as a confirmation of their beliefs. This delayed discovery intensifies the ghost stories, providing a tragic foundation for tales of a spectral figure forever searching for her lost appendages. The timing seemed orchestrated, as ghost stories about the handless woman became established in local lore. Physical evidence emerged that appeared to validate those supernatural claims. Finding Delia's remains created a paradox. It brought closure to her family while breathing new life into the supernatural narrative. The verification of concrete details gave credibility to the ghost stories flourishing around them. Visitors to Brown's Bridge report more than sightings of the infamous lady. The area has become a focal point for unexplained phenomena clustering around the tragedy site. Fishermen describe sudden temperature drops that transform summer warmth into winter chill within seconds. Boaters report engines dying without warning, followed by an eerie silence broken only by water lapping against their hulls, only to restart once they've drifted away. Swimmers feel unseen hands grabbing at their legs, pulling them downward before suddenly releasing them. These unexplained phenomena contribute to the belief that Lake Lanier is haunted by the spirits of those who perished in its waters. The area's reputation has grown so that some locals refuse to swim nearby, while others make the sign of the cross when passing beneath the bridge's shadow. Perhaps the most unsettling are the unusual lights hovering over the water near Brown's Bridge at night. Witnesses insist these concentrated blue-white illuminations move with apparent purpose, sometimes tracing the Thunderbird's fatal path into the lake. The Lady of the Lake has become an iconic figure in Georgia's supernatural landscape, featured in books, television, and online forums where new sightings are regularly reported. Paranormal teams conduct overnight vigils at Brown's Bridge, deploying specialized equipment to capture evidence. One investigator described, "Our equipment recorded significant temperature fluctuations and electromagnetic abnormalities that followed no natural pattern. Then, just after midnight, every battery-powered device simultaneously drained. Cameras, meters, everything. That simply doesn't happen naturally." While skeptics point to rational explanations from optical illusions to the power of suggestion, the volume and consistency of the reports over generations make this haunting difficult to dismiss. Sightings increase during droughts when normally submerged parts of Brown's Bridge become visible, as if lowering waters allow the spirit greater freedom to manifest. For many locals, the Lady of the Lake represents more than a ghost story. She has become a cautionary tale about Lake Lanier's hidden dangers, keeping people alert in an area with genuine physical hazards. When drought reduces Lake Lanier's water levels, something strange happens. The physical remnants of the past emerge from the depths, and so too do reports of supernatural activity. It's as if the lake itself is a curtain, and when it parts, the boundary between the past and present dissolves in ways that defy rational explanation. The Lady of the Lake haunts one specific corner of these waters, yet her presence represents something far more pervasive. Many Georgia locals speak of Lake Lanier as an entity with its own dark consciousness. This perspective transforms Lake Lanier from a setting of supernatural encounters into something more unsettling, a landscape carrying the weight of collective trauma and historical violence within its geography. The haunting encompasses the entire body of water, suggesting a more profound disturbance than isolated ghost stories could explain. The supernatural reputation directly correlates with Georgia's unresolved racial wounds. The submersion of Oscarville, a community already victimized through racial violence, represents a second erasure, a literal burial of evidence that continues to resonate through the land itself. Contemporary accounts strengthen this impression of a lake defying normal explanations. Boaters report engines suddenly failing in calm waters. Electronic equipment, depth finders, radios, cell phones, malfunction in specific areas without apparent cause. At night, visitors describe hearing inexplicable sounds, voices calling from empty shorelines, phantom splashing of invisible swimmers, or distant echoes of church bells from congregations long since relocated. Divers who venture into the murky depths report unsettling encounters beyond poor visibility and submerged structures. Sensations of unseen presences, unexpected cold spots, and in the most chilling accounts, the feeling of body parts brushing against them where no remains have been officially recovered. For many Black Georgians with familial connections to Forsyth County, the lake's dangers carry additional significance. "There's a sense among older Black folks that the lake demands respect for what it has done to our people," explained community historian Terrence Washington. "When another drowning occurs, some view it as the lake's way of ensuring we don't forget the unmarked graves and homes destroyed through racial violence." This perspective frames Lake Lanier's dangers not as random tragedies but as consequences of historical injustice. The water becomes a medium through which the past reaches into the present, with submerged structures creating both physical hazards and symbolic reminders of what lies below. What makes Lake Lanier's reputation particularly potent is how supernatural elements intertwine with verifiable physical hazards. The mysterious drownings have concrete explanations. Poor visibility, unexpected currents. Yet these material dangers reinforce rather than diminish the sense of something malevolent at work. The statistical anomaly of Lake Lanier's fatality rate compared to similar bodies of water leaves room for supernatural explanation alongside rational ones. The haunting thus serves as both a ghost story and a historical metaphor, a way for communities to process unresolved trauma and acknowledge buried truths. Through receding waters that reveal forgotten foundations and inexplicable phenomena that defy easy explanation, Lake Lanier continues to blur the boundaries between history and the present, between memory and manifestation, ensuring that what was submerged is never truly forgotten. As our journey through Lake Lanier's haunted history comes to a close, we're left with ghost stories and statistics. The waters that shimmer invitingly on sunny Georgian afternoons serve as a powerful metaphor, a literal covering over uncomfortable truths. This submerged history continues to influence the present, shaping perceptions and experiences of visitors. The unresolved trauma of Oscarville's destruction transforms beneath these waters, finding new expressions in our collective consciousness. Water preserves, distorts, and eventually reveals. What makes Lake Lanier truly haunting is our human capacity to build leisure sites atop unmarked graves and historical violence. Will we remember what the waters tried to hide? This has been Midnight Signals. I'm Russ Chamberlain, guiding you through the shadows where history meets mystery. Until next time, stay vigilant, seek the hidden, and remember, in every silence there is a signal, and in every signal, a story waiting to be told.